It's better over here.
AT&T customers, switching to T-Mobile has never been easier. We'll pay off your existing phone and give you a new one free. All on America's largest 5G network. Visit T-Mobile.com/carrierfreedom to switch today.
Pay off up to $650 via virtual prepaid MasterCard in 15 days. Free phone up to $830 via 24 monthly bill credits plus tax. Qualifying port-in trade-in service on Go5G Next and credit required. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance and required finance agreement is due.
This time of year, the gear means more. The logo has a season of grit stitched in. The hat brims go low. The jerseys blaze with postseason pride. It's postseason season. This is what players and fans wear to win. Visit MLBShop.com for your favorite team gear and today's special offer. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Chris Curtis on WEEI. Ah, yeah. Back in the friendly confines with my good pals, Christopher John Curtis and Joseph P. Braverman, MD, who was here last night. Maybe not P, I don't know what your middle name is.
Curtis.
M, good.
Montague.
Joseph M. Braverman producing the Christopher John Curtis production of Ken and Curtis up until 11:30 at UVA.
I got to tell you, your parents missed out. If you were David M. Braverman, you'd be DMB, Greg Ken's favorite band.
That would just—he would not be producing the show.
Actually, my dad's brother's name, David.
Well, even better. Is he a good guy?
He seems like a good guy.
There you go, namesake.
Well, off the bat this morning, I mean, we're off the Whalers, the Newport remote. You got Rhode Island on the mind. We're off the Newport remote. You guys, you and I spent some nice time together the last couple of days, which was great.
Lovely. Dined
on Thursday night. It was enjoyable.
Awesome dinner. That was fun.
But off the bat here this morning, right off the bat, as is our opening benchmark, I would like to focus on a lead from this week on the show, and it's not mine, which did make some noise and
create
some waves. I appreciate that. I actually think it was your lead from the morning, which got a little buried. I was thinking back on this. You don't often have optimistic, positive spin leads. I mean, it's not never.
Right.
But you're generally critical. You approach this business with a critical eye, which is good. It served you well, and people enjoy it.
Yep.
And I'm not knocking you for it. But you came out Thursday. Was it Thursday?
I don't know where
Thursday
I am.
Thursday morning. Thursday morning on the show, you made a case for Gerard Mayo, to paraphrase, being ahead of Belichick when he was a rookie coach.
Oh, of course.
For starting 0-4. And it made me think, sometimes you throw the old changeup, which I like. So are you back on Team Mayo? Give it time. This isn't as bad as it looks. This has been worse. This is how it's supposed to be. Rookie quarterbacks will struggle.
Well, it's the best way you can make a good determination on a series of events is to compare it to a similar series of events where the outcome is known now in years prior. And it's been well documented, a generation without a new coach. And when we talked to Boomer on and off the air, I made it clear he was a roommate in college of Frank Reich at Maryland.
He loves Frank Reich.
He loves Frank Reich. But this wasn't like a defense of Frank Reich after he left. Whenever we talk about becoming a head coach, he always says, you don't know anything until you've been in that seat. The amount of things you have to do, the amount of things that land on your table, that when you're a position coach, a player, a coordinator, none of it compares to the stress and constant nature of the job responsibilities as a head football coach in the NFL. And so I look back to 2000, and it's a good reference point because the guy that is openly mocking the next head coach of the Patriots, who enters without any coaching experience, was here in 2000 when he had already been in Cleveland for 4 to 5 years. And his first four games of his coaching tenure as the New England Patriots head coach in 2000 on a team with Drew Bledsoe, Troy Brown, Terry Glenn, Ted Johnson, Teddy Bruschi, Ty Law, Jermaine Wiggins, Lawyer Malloy, up and down that roster, Kevin Falk, they were 0-4, and they scored 4 offensive touchdowns in their first 4 games. The Patriots this year, first year with a new head coach since that season, are 1-3, and they have scored 3 offensive touchdowns. The strength of the 2000 Patriots? Special teams. The strength of the 2024 Patriots? Special teams. And so, obviously, the odds of Gerard Mayo being, you know, a head coach here for another 10 years are slim. It's basically a 95% fail rate when you hire a new head coach in the NFL. It's very difficult. But, and if we're going to be honest, we don't have to rewrite history. If the Patriots don't find a diamond, the biggest diamond in any rough ever, then Bill's probably, you know, like Spagnuolo, one of the best defensive coordinators in NFL history. So it's just a good vantage point because we all sit here. And then Greg yesterday, great lead, talking about the dysfunction. We had the Evan Lazar story, non-story, about, you know, mutiny and how this never happened with Bill. And it's just not true. I mean, there were people that were afraid of Bill, but I believe the last 2 seasons, so the end of the 2023 season and the end of the 2022 season, there were massive stories by Garigian, Howe, Kide, all these guys.
Of mutiny?
Of dysfunction.
Dysfunction.
Right.
2 good words this week, mutiny and dysfunction.
And so, you know, I actually believe that there is a dysfunction where it's a major league style dysfunction where the roster, including the coach or manager in major league, has a mutiny against the people upstairs.
Elliot Wolf or Robert Kraft?
Robert Kraft. Rather than
peeling layers of clothes off Robert as
right,
they...
Right. Rather than a bunch of guys in spite of Bobby Valentine or some chaotic scene like that. So, and what bothered me most about the way, you know, this has been discussed with Gerard Mayo is if you don't have the week 1 against the Bengals and my overreaction, and you don't, and they win week 2 and they're still 1-3, people are kind of like, oh yeah, this is about where they should be. Because what shifted was the way the season started for the first 7.5 quarters, where you are a bad decision on 3rd and 5 away from the plus 20 yard line from being 2-0 when a team that you thought would win 3 to 4 games. So all of our prognostications and opinions shifted, and the expectations were immediately raised.
The Thursday night Jets game.
And then Thursday night Jets game was, yeah, you know, a travesty.
It is. And then, of course, you have your former coach that you're alluding to there in the media with the clip of the week, perhaps submitted for your approval, the Bill Belichick clip of the week this week, talking about Mayo.
I have no idea what the plan is, so I don't know. I can't comment on that. If Mayo says he's got a plan, then I guess he's got one, and we'll have to wait to see what it is. I'd say there's a number of issues there. One is can't move the ball and can't score. You know, got a touchdown off of the field goal on, you know, 63-yard field goal, whatever it was, or field goal, and then got a touchdown off the fumbled kickoff. But, you know, otherwise had a hard time moving the ball. And I don't know exactly what the numbers were, but the amount of time that Purdy had to throw was pretty high. I got to think that in terms of the amount of time before the ball was released, it had to be the highest in the league or close to it. So I think there are some pass rush issues there. There are some, you know, scoring issues. And Joey Sly was a great, you know, that's a great addition for him. They got a good kicker. I mean, that's a big upgrade from where we were last year. But I'd say there's some other things that have to be worked out, and obviously they got the protection straightened out. That cost them the game against Seattle on the block field goal, but we'll see. We'll see what the plan is. I have no idea what it is.
Dripping with disdain might be too strong, but it's laced. It is laden with disdain and glee.
I really want to go back to, I mean, I was inundated. Dozens of people said, Curtis, why are you ripping Bill? He signed an NDA. He can't talk about the Pats. Like, you absolute footy pajama wearing bobos. Of course he could talk about the Patriots.
Oh, he is now.
Maybe
the NDA expired.
And the funny part about all this is he's just showing you why he's not here. It's the petty, vindictive nature of who he is that the second Gerard Mayo was given the job to replace him, he and Robert split. Mm-hmm. The second they were taking Mac Jones and Mac Jones didn't genuflect in the presence of Joe Judge and Matt Patricia, they split. And that's why he's not in Atlanta. It's not because of, you know, people think he's dumb or not a good coach, or it's the personality failures that he has while doing this personality makeover that is why he is not there.
But he's better in the media than you thought. Give him credit for that.
What he didn't talk about the biggest win week one?
That's a good quote right there. Come on.
Of course.
clip of the week.
I love when people are their true selves, but his true self is why he's not in the NFL.
Well, okay, maybe he's a media guy for life.
But no, I think that we just look at this so differently. The Patriots won 8 games in 1999.
Do you remember coming in? I mean, Carroll got fired in January, so it couldn't have been a great vibe. But so Bill comes in. Expectations could not have been skyrocketed for him.
Well, Y2K was a big moment.
Yeah.
A pretty balanced approach to it. I think there was a lot of people, maybe 40%, said, why are you giving up this haul for Bill Belichick? You know, but there was a lot of, you know, enthusiasm. But the where the team was in 2000, not even in the same stratosphere of where it found itself, even
which,
now.
Which, ironically, is partly, as you point out, because Bill put them in a rock-bottom position. So Mayo had to come into this crater and try to assemble some sort of a structure. He's doing that, you know, with a coordinator he may or may not get along with, a GM he may or may not get along with, half a coaching staff that is probably left over and just riding out their end of their deals.
But once
it is a strain, I don't know what dysfunction, and maybe last year was, but this is, it's odd. It's an odd situation.
There is absolute dysfunction, and the roster does not want Jacoby Brissett to play anymore. He is a very nice gentleman, but going back to sort of finish the 2000-2024.
Yep, you're caught.
And all the
good
years,
lead, by the way, very good lead.
Thank you. And all the years that were in between, the triumvirate of Bill, Robert, and Tom. This is exactly where we all remember the Charlie Weiss cut. They all thought it was them. That each of the three thought they were the reason, the driving force behind the double dynasty. Mm-hmm. I have Tom number one, Bill number two, a stack of crap, and then crap. And then I have, for the reason why the dynasty deteriorated and was dead at the end of the 2019 regular season, Robert Kraft, number one reason, Bill and Tom tied, like, you know, the bottom of that.
Now, if you go to the Forbes wealth list, Robert is high on that list again. Bill and Tom are schlepping in the media to try to make a paycheck. So who's winning that end of the bargain?
I don't know. I'd rather be Tom right now than Robert Kraft. But either way,
you'd love to work with Burkhardt every week? Who's he working with? Not Burkhardt. Who's he have? Who's his partner?
Yeah, Kevin Burkhardt.
Oh, it is Burkhardt, yeah. Okay.
Come on, they call him KB and Tom TB. It's
natural, like, chemistry,
oh,
right off
God.
The top.
That viral clip was so awkward because Kevin Burkhardt was like, you said more in the production room. It was, I just watch this team now and I see a roster that has no talent on offense. And we can talk about a million things and it's not interesting, but what they did with the offensive line is just inexcusable. And the way Robert Kraft would have you believe, you know, we have to, even with Jerod Mayo on Monday when I asked about spending, he's like, well, you don't want to spend on one guy. Why not?
They don't want to spend on guys they didn't think were worth the money, to paraphrase his answer Monday.
But
which could be true. Maybe there weren't linemen that were signed in free agency they thought were good. They signed Chuks Okorafor and he left the team. So swing and a miss. At minimum, swing and a miss.
Yeah.
We don't have to rehash it all. But I guess the general sentiment from you, in a nutshell, are you optimistic? Pessimistic? Are you giving him a chance still? You're not out yet.
So I have not reacted to the week of chaotic reporting as a insult or a referendum on Jerod Mayo. I believe this is a referendum on the front office and the owner and the direction and slow playing they have with the starting quarterback of the future. The defense thinks if they don't give up a pick six and, you know, fumble the ball to the other team, they could have been close with the 49ers. If they tidy up the contain, which Bill was mocking, and rightfully so, I mean, it was awful the way they allowed Brock Purdy just to dance around. But the organization, meaning the on-field product, coaches on down, believes that they need to have Drake May out there. And the front office is terrified of the offensive line they put together,
right,
injuring the future quarterback.
And they should.
If Mayo says he's got a plan, then I guess he's got one.
How do you feel about the state of the Patriots here going into a winnable, favored, still favored, tomorrow, week five, home matchup against the Finns? Before we get to trending, can I go to one of your fans who wants to compliment you and the show for, I think, one of the segments yesterday down in Rhode Island? Hello, Jeff in Watertown.
Hey guys, how you doing? Yeah, Ken, Chris, I just wanted to say that I really enjoyed the hour yesterday. I was laid up. I've been laid up the last couple of days with a bad back, so listening to the radio. And I really enjoy, you know, it was just like the best kind of radio, because it was, you know, they always say it's an intimate medium, and I really felt like I was at the table with you guys. It didn't feel rushed, because, you know, Jay Leno kept saying, you know, yeah, I have more time. And he's such a cranky old Yank. Like, he's just like all these guys I know now, you know, like he just fit right in. So it was just a great segment. And I wanted to let you guys know that I really enjoyed it. So maybe the muscles relaxed just have something to do with it. But I really had a good
thanks,
time.
Jeff.
I hope your back improves. Nothing worse than that. Thanks, Jeff.
Yeah, talking about your hour with Jay Leno yesterday. Comedy royalty.
His quote, and it resonated with me deeply, that you enter every room, if you believe you're the smartest guy in there, you don't listen. And the only way you get smarter is by listening to people that have wisdom you don't currently have.
I notice you talk a lot on the morning show, though.
Well, I don't listen to, I'm the smartest person on that show. That's not exactly, you know, gold star. I'm kidding. But the thing about Leno was just how comfortable he was in his own skin.
Yep.
And even you saw during the breaks, like, random people are walking up to him. And there's just a lot of people in Hollywood that would have someone
roped off.
And he couldn't have been more approachable.
Oh, great job by you and Greg, too. Greg has a way of keeping guys for an extra 10 minutes. Without pre-scripting that, you know, he'll put them on the spot. But
it was a great hour. It was. I mean, it's... I don't know if you're Joe Braverman's age, if I could do justice to what Jay Leno was back in the day. But, you know, pre-internet, I just loved that story where he would have the small town police blotter. You know, everybody's redone that. That was his. That was a Jay Leno staple. I always loved how all the other comedians hated him. It was so bizarre. Like, oh, I'm a Letterman guy. But either way, couldn't have been nicer. And I didn't know that his wife was just diagnosed with dementia.
I didn't either. Yeah. Well, thanks to everybody at Audrain Concourse and the museum down there in Newport, and Motor Week going on this weekend. Definitely worth your time. Thank you for hosting us. And
great. Newport is an awesome town.
Yeah, really cool.
Gorgeous. How is that only like 90 minutes from here?
You and I need to play tennis on that international tennis lawn right down the street there.
I got
to
tell you, the yachts in those harbors, holy guacamole.
All right, here till 11:30, we've got BC football. Let's talk a little Patriots and the plan. What is the plan? And I do want to revisit my lead from Thursday, which was not met with great support from the members of the show. The Drake Mahomes plan of yours truly. But here with the news and what's trending is Joe M. Braverman. It's better
over here. After investing billions to light up our network, T-Mobile is America's largest 5G network. Plus, right now, you can switch, keep your phone, and we'll pay it off up to $800. See how you can save on every plan versus Verizon and AT&T at T-Mobile.com/keep and switch.
Up to 4 lines via virtual prepaid card. Allow 15 days. Qualifying unlocked device, credit, service, ported 90 plus days with device and eligible carrier and timely redemption required. Card has no cash access and expires in 6 months.
It's time for Pitch Hit and Run, the official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Give the kids in your community a chance to flex their superpowers, and they could earn a trip to the national finals of the 2025 World Series presented by Capital One. So go ahead, be the one who powers their dreams, and sign up to host the local Pitch Hit and Run event. It's a free and fun way to promote baseball, softball, and your organization. To learn more, go to pitchhitrun.com.
Kenny Curtis Show here on your EEI weekend. BC football coming up, UVA 11:30 pregame. That might be one of the better games. I mean, it's not a nationally good game, but I'm more interested in that game than much on the national slate. Not a ton out there today.
No, not great.
Which Georgia-Bama was so good, we didn't exactly follow that up on the weekend schedule. But I think you do have Missouri playing A&M. That's the only ranked opponents today. So you'll find out how good of a loss that was for your BC fans back in the Missouri stretch.
Yeah, that's a noon one. The Fox game is UCLA-Penn State. Awful.
Pretty bad. I think Washington and Miami.
Michigan.
Was it Michigan?
Yep.
Michigan, Washington?
That's 7:30 tonight. Michigan is...
Well, Miami plays Cal. That's not a bad game.
That's the game days out in Berkeley right now.
It's all about baseball, Curtis. Four big games today. Mets-Phillies never have faced off against one another. You believe that?
Mets-Philly in a play... Oh, that makes sense. How many years have we had this...
it's fairly new. And then you got your Dodgers who start Yamamoto in game one tonight, 8:38. Could have been your guy, not your guy. And then Jack Flaherty, who was a trade deadline acquisition from the Tigers in game two, which could have been your guy and was not your guy.
Yeah, there is a fresh feeling of rage at the Red Sox front office whenever I feel the wet, like today, 3:30 Sox game. Like, what a perfect day.
This would have been.
It's just the city is bumping. Tourism is like going crazy. We've had like three cruise ships in the port in Southie for like a month.
Really?
Yeah. It's the perfect weather, perfect fall baseball day, and we get none of it because we're cheap.
You have a lot of prospects. Three on the top on the top 30 prospects list. If you want to cling on to something, which I know you don't.
How disingenuous is Sam Kennedy to get mad at the Red Sox fan base for not knowing John Henry? Like, think of that.
I was disappointed in the press conference. Not only for that, he certainly did not squash the Celtics buying rumors.
Of course. Like, what are we doing here?
I mean,
there is this perception of John, largely, you know, driven by people who sort of aren't dealing with him, who don't talk to him regularly, that maybe somehow he's not actively involved. I can assure you he's on the most important committees at Major League Baseball.
Cool. You know what committee he's on Major League Baseball?
What's that?
Look it up. Economic Reform Committee.
You brought that up before, yeah.
So what don't we understand? Like, that's what I always love. Like, why is it on me to understand someone that hides in his basement?
Well done is better than well said, as you often point out. So if they spend some money this offseason, then John Henry will gain some fans back. I heard, though, that they're doing away or reinventing Winter Weekend. There's some speculation about that, so we might not be in Springfield, which is one of our go-to January trips together.
Don't tell me I can't go to the casino Friday night in January.
Oh, geez. The Celtics are in Abu Dhabi, and they're back there tomorrow, and the Bruins start Tuesday. The opener is on Tuesday.
So does anybody in the NBA media ever, like, point out the hypocrisy of moving an All-Star game from a state because of a bathroom bill and then playing games in Abu Dhabi?
I was watching the game, and they showed some of the sites, briefly watching it, and I was like, I don't know anything about Abu Dhabi. Not a thing. Is it controversial? Is it dangerous? Is it safe?
It's very wealthy.
Yeah,
a lot of oil out there, but not exactly. I mean, if you're moving an exhibition from an American city because you want just men in a bathroom, then it's kind of odd to go to Abu Dhabi, where they're not exactly tolerant of all lifestyles.
This just popped in my head since you were praising in the opening segment, but pointing out the difficulty of being a rookie coach in the NFL, which it obviously is. Maybe Wiggy's more right than we're giving him credit for. That Missoula needs to skyrocket up the list of NBA coaches for doing what he did right away as an NBA coach. I mean,
but it's just so laughable. Like, if Eric Spoelstra was not, do you think Wiggy in 2011 said Eric Spoelstra is the best coach in the NBA?
He probably no. In 2011, Spoelstra was getting
whatever the year that they finally won.
Oh, when they finally won,
it was an afterthought. You know,
yeah.
He didn't get in the way, but we didn't have the view we currently have for Eric Spoelstra until he did it with a team that was less talented than the teams he was beating.
True.
I was wrong about Joe Mazzulla. Dead wrong.
Nada.
I thought he was way in over his head and was kind of a dink for no reason. He did it. He knew what he was doing. I didn't. He won it all. The eggs on my face. Totally. But to then, like, go to the statement that he's the best coach of the NBA, the Celtics are the best team in the NBA, and he didn't get in the way of it. And just to bring it back to the Patriots,
yeah,
the Patriots were dysfunctional last year, and I thought Mayo had fixed it. He hasn't. So I'm not saying it's Mayo's fault, but he hasn't turned it around.
But that kind of was your overall theme. It's not Mayo's fault. If you're going to blame somebody, don't blame Gerard Mayo.
No, but what I'm saying is that, you know, Greg and I were going back and forth a bit about the Herald story at the end of last season where there was obvious dysfunction with Belichick and the team, and we were told that the silos were gone.
Right.
That Mayo's here. Thundercat is ready to go.
He's definitely more open with the media. He has been at that. He won't give you the plan. You guys are upset about that. But he does talk off the cuff and tries to give you some insight, which Bill wouldn't. but it doesn't seem to be gaining any fans, that approach.
And I guess, you know, not to defend Bill Belichick, which I'm often, you know, doing, but wasn't it probably Groh and Elliott Wolf that said, take Tyquan Thornton? Like, do we think Bill Belichick was like, I've scouted all the college football receivers. Like, N'Keal Harry, we know it's Bill because he had the buddy that was the assistant with Arizona State that, you know, there was the connection. But, like, what evidence do we have that Elliott Wolf and Matt Groh know a damn thing about building a roster?
And Wolf was here with the old regime, so it's not like he's new to the job. He's had time to work up to this level of performance, which he just hasn't done. So I generally agree with you. I mean, the Mayo and certainly Van Pelt is low on that list to me of guys you want to blame for the 1-3 start and the apparent dysfunction of the last few weeks. Although you asked me this question Thursday, is Van Pelt going to be here next year? And I said yes. And that, I guess, I shouldn't say so definitively. There's a chance that this offense just continues to look awful and they decide we need better than this. And maybe Van Pelt was a one-year plug Band-Aid because nobody else would come here given the state of the franchise last offseason.
This brings me to the worst lead of the week, which was yours. But I want to get to that in 1 second. A couple people saying that I'm wrong, that it was baseball, not basketball. Incorrect.
That moved the All-Star game.
First of all, there's not a baseball team in North Carolina, so that would be odd. And
they moved it out of Atlanta, didn't they?
The NBA made a $100 million decision when it moved the 2017 NBA game All-Star Weekend out of Charlotte, North Carolina. The game relocation came after the state passed HB2, referred to as the bathroom bill.
Gotcha. Baseball moved it out of Georgia because of the restriction of voting access for people of color.
Okay.
In 2021.
Nope, not wrong, but good try. Good day.
So.
Best not miss.
All right, King.
Well, I mean, I just think it's amazing that you're sitting there on a Saturday texting into a show and you don't even check to see if you're right. But either way.
So, over to Miley. Now, can we play a little with Jelani Tavai
from
your show Friday? He was asked about the QBs and whether he supports Jacoby sticking in there, basically.
Do you think Jacoby Brissett gives you the best chance to win at quarterback right now?
Yeah, I don't know. You got to ask Coach Mayo about that one. My job is to make sure I make the right calls, make some tackles, and get the ball back into their hands.
But does it come up in the locker room? Like, are there guys that say they'd like to see Drake May?
I'm more worried about the defense. I'm trying to make sure that we're on top of our communication because, you know, that's one of the biggest things that we need to have on defense. So, yeah,
Put your hands over your ears in the locker room and go, no, I want to talk defense.
Earmuffs.
Yeah, exactly. Ignore the, yeah. As much as we want to ignore the noise outside, it's, you know, sometimes it might be in here, but like I say, everybody in here has been doing a great job on, you know, bringing the, and making sure that we're doing the right thing in here.
All right, so you pointed out much different vibe from Jelani talking quarterbacks yesterday than it was earlier in the season, correct?
Courtney made that point, but it's right.
He was complimentary of Jacoby as the veteran.
Right.
Now you take that as a jumping off point to what? That he wants May in.
So the way I view everyone in media today, and whatever, politics, you name it, is because of social media, because of the manner in which something had become viral, people go out of their way to be dull. And it's something they learned from Bill Belichick, who probably learned that from Parcells. I don't know where he was.
Lazar, he's firing off shots everywhere.
What a pathetic day that was. But the when I asked that question, it was sort of like when I asked Bill Belichick a couple years ago, when Mac Jones is 100% healthy, is he your starting quarterback? And he didn't answer it, which led to 3 weeks of quarterback controversy. And Bill knew in that moment what that answer signified. He knew that, he's smarter than I am by a mile. Like, he could have understood that perfectly, and he could have quelled it by saying, yeah, he's a quarterback. But then he could always change his mind. In that case, Jelani Tavai was asked if he, I don't know how he said it, but asked if he thinks that Jacoby Brissett gives him the best chance
to win, was your question.
And the simple answer is, yeah, we're going out. I'm on the defense. I trust that the Patriots, that, you know, Gerard and the organization are going to put the best person there to win. Done. Instead of saying, I don't know, you'll have to ask Coach Mayo.
That's kind of what
I don't know. That's you got to ask Coach Mayo about that one. That's
very different. I don't know.
He just sounded like a guy who didn't want to engage at all with the offense this week. It's all about the defense. We have problems. We need to get our ass together. I don't know.
Or you could say, or
your spin on it, but
it's not even a spin. Or you could say this. Jelani Tavai, do you believe that Jacoby Brissett gives you the best chance to win? And you can answer by saying, no matter who's quarterback, if we don't keep contain this Sunday like we failed to do against Brock Purdy, we lose. Boom, next question.
Okay. So do you believe the entire locker room, and over to the Mutiny Report, is that a locker room? If you believe that there is dysfunction, if you believe the locker room is mutinizing, is it over the quarterback situation? Because I just can't believe there are players in there that are looking at Drake May and saying, we put him in, instantly fixes everything. We're off and running.
No, it's more about a meritocracy where everything to this point, these guys are the top 1% of 1% of 1% to get to the NFL and get to where they are. And it's always been based on outplaying their teammates or opponents. So Jerod Mayo on Monday, which is what really unlocked this, when Greg followed up about the tryout or the competition in the training camp, and Jerod Mayo said, yes, Drake May was outplaying Jacoby Brissett at the end of camp.
Mm-hmm.
So you're a player, and you're seeing that the offense is awful, and the guy that is better, both in practice, and that's the other thing, is it legitimized to me the comments about the practice performances, because if you're just saying that to, you know, whatever, like you aren't following it up with the demanding he get in the game. So why am I going out here getting my head beaten in when we're not doing what is best for the football team?
What are best guys on the bench?
Putting the best guys on the field.
Yeah. I mean, you could be right. I'm not saying that there aren't players that think that. I don't believe that everybody with a brain has got to look at it and say, Elliott Wolf gave us a pile of mud. The line is in shambles. Like, Drake May is not going to save us now. It makes sense to wait for this guy to have some support around him when he comes in.
What is the average
especially when Andrews goes down this week. Like, this is not the week. Maybe it's next week.
What is the average NFL shelf life of a player? 3 years?
It's probably 2 years, but that's swayed by quick cuts.
Well, okay, so the rank and file guys and the Patriots are full of guys that could be quick cuts. So
yeah, they surely could.
That those guys are looking at it. So we're just throwing away the season. Mm-hmm. And the other thing is, whether it's Polk or Pop Douglas or Osborne or Hunter Henry or whomever, there's no way of replicating the on-field learning curve other than by getting on the field in an actual NFL regular season game.
But go back to what you first said, because you might be right about that. Their plan may be to tank the year. Isn't that possible? That Wolf and Kraft were like, look, we're going to stink on purpose this year, basically. We're not telling the players this. And the players might be figuring that out slowly, and that would lead to some unrest.
But I don't think that might be what they're doing. I mean, it would be the Elliott Wolf, you know, parachute jumping out the plane. But
if you're a player, I guess you have a right to be pissed, because you're right about that. Time is precious, and you're punting on the season.
I mean, it's not an overstatement to say the team should be 2-2 through four games.
But that's a separate issue. That's almost like defying the odds, defying the roster. That's the player's fault. That's the coach's fault,
right,
for the Seattle decision.
But the guys on the team say, if not for a sack against the Seahawks,
yeah,
we're 2-2.
Well, right, but Bentley's gone and Andrews is gone. I mean, that is big.
Look at
that
every NFL team, Ken. Every NFL team.
This team had a thin margin, and they could not lose. Their two guys they could not lose. They just lost the middle of both of their offense and defense.
So you think they should Joe Judge take a knee on third and long?
I mean, basically, take a knee until week 17. It's not a good situation. Now, Miami's in an awful situation, so you actually might win tomorrow. That's the bizarre part of it. And string along, you know, a few more weeks of respectability. But this will be a long year, and it might be the right call for the organization if they are tanking. Because in the long run, it might benefit them. You know, the draft picks they get next year to be able to save cash, if they're really going to push cash from this year to next year and spend it in free agency, then it might actually work.
I would say very succinctly that teams that suck 2 years in a row the way they're trying to suck never get great. Very, very infrequently. Look at all the winning teams of the last decade. You have the Bucs, who were 7-9, not 3-13 the year before Tom. You have the Rams, who were in a Super Bowl in 2018, traded their great quarterback for Matthew Stafford. They win a Super Bowl. The Chiefs were a playoff team consecutive years before winning their Super Bowl in 19. You look at the 49ers, they haven't won yet, but they're there every year. The Eagles in 2017.
What about like the Bills and the Jets? Stick in the division.
No, but I'm talking about teams that have won championships.
Oh,
you're not going to get there this way. It's just not how it's operated. You'll have to go back to the 97, 98 Colts who took Peyton Manning and then eventually won in 2006.
You worked for the Steelers. They had a bad year, one bad year, and then got Roethlisberger.
But where Roethlisberger is middle of the first round. He wasn't top five.
He was top 10.
Roethlisberger?
It was 11th.
Yeah, he was not top 10.
Yeah.
And Mahomes was 10.
But they were lucky. Yeah, he dropped. He was Miami of Ohio.
I mean, I think the Patriots will be picking around 10 to 12 this year.
That's 10 to 12.
Yeah.
God, you don't think they'll be top five?
I don't. I think
really?
The NFL
You're
is
You're sticking
just,
with your eight wins.
It's never as bad as it looks, and it's never as good as you think it is.
I guess, but I don't know how.
They're
going to
win tomorrow.
Bad. You think they will?
Yeah.
Kendrick Bourne sparks them to a dub.
I think this is going to be the Evan Lazar revenge game.
All right, quarterback plan, Patriots plan. Is it to tank? And would that be a fine plan if it was? 617-779-7937 on the Ken and Curtis Show.
I don't want to, reveal my sources or get anybody in trouble. But
you don't have
let me
any.
Just say that, you know, digging around the team, I was told that May's not ready. And yes, I'm being intentionally vague. There are some things associated with the offense that he still is working through. So I don't think he's there. I mean, I think it was termed to me that similar to what Rappaport reported on the weekend, like, you know, I was told he's kind of a ways away. Of course, one more bad hit to Jacoby Brissett and he could be out there. And I think they're going to have to simplify things if he goes out there. And I think it'll be fine.
Greg Bedard on his podcast, May is not ready. Sources. And he's right about Rap Sheet. Rap Sheet came out Sunday, as these national reporters often do, and reported weeks away. Not close. Drake May is not close, which I believe, give me some credit, that was my topic last week on our show. Drake May is not going to play anytime soon. Are you okay with that? That's the way this is trending.
You would think it would be the other way, where people would draft off of Greg Bedard, but Bedard drafts over behind people's reporting like nobody else in this business.
But it was kind of obvious to see it coming. I mean, Drake, there's no sign that May's close to playing.
I saw Woj's bum. I was also hearing about that.
But the plan has been, like Mahomes, like Jordan Love, I guess a lot of these guys were Green Bay guys. They saw that, even though that was a different situation where you had an obvious, you know, star quarterback on the field. I tried to make the point Thursday on the show. This is a little bit like the Kansas City situation. Mahomes was better than Alex Smith, but they were patient. They held off. Maybe in hindsight, there were Chiefs players that wanted Mahomes in there.
Ken, it's such a... I understand it. I do. I'm not saying it's like brain dead, but nobody today within our listening audience that supports the Patriots would be clamoring for the arrival of Drake May if they were 4-0. Nobody would. And I speaking personally, the Monday after the Patriots beat the Bengals when we're at Gillette Stadium with Gerard Mayo and Wiggy's bringing up Drake May, I was like, what are you doing? You know, but there is Alex Smith was operating a turnkey offensive system with what I believe to be the best offensive mind in the history of the NFL and Andy Reid. Successful with Alex Smith, Donovan McNabb, and now obviously the best with the best quarterback today.
Up to a point, I mean, they never really had much playoff success. They certainly never won.
Okay, and well, that has more to do with the way the NFL was played for years, but now that the NFL has tilted away from defense and to offense, Andy Reid has become what Bill Belichick was, which is the best at the most important side of the ball in the NFL with the best player operating it.
That's fair.
And so I watched the Chiefs in that 2017 season, and yes, they were, I think 2017, correct me if I'm wrong, the Patriots with the Goodell clown shirts lost week one 2017 to the Chiefs when they raised the banner from the Super Bowl 51 game. I think they lost to Alex Smith and the Chiefs, and it was like by 10 points in week one of the 2017 regular season.
That's the year they went on, though, to beat the Steelers in the title game and then lose to the Eagles in the Super Bowl, right?
That is correct, 42-27.
Okay.
Bang! Look at that.
Well, fine. No, the Chiefs started 5-0 that year.
Right. So my point is
that 5-5 or something like that.
Just like I compared the first four games of Belichick in 2000 to the first four games of Mayo in 2024, at the quarter pole, the Chiefs were, and Mahomes was an afterthought.
And yeah, but players were talking about how good he was in practice. They were like, this guy's kid's amazing on the scout team. He's throwing no-look passes. It's unbelievable what this guy's doing.
Right, and they were winning games with Alex Smith, and Alex Smith led the NFL in passer rating, had 28 touchdowns and 5 interceptions.
I mean, they were 6-6. They won their last 4.
But even if Jacoby Brissett and the Patriots lose 20-17 last week instead of whatever it was by 2 touchdowns to the Niners, and you don't have the throw to Warner, Fred Warner, the 49ers, excellent linebacker, there may not be this cacophony of anger. Well, what I'm telling you is that there is no way to compare Alex Smith operating one of the best offenses in NFL history to freaking stumble bum Van Pelt and whatever offense he has with Jacoby Brissett.
If you don't want to compare it, fine. I just think it's time to tank, baby. It's time to look at what you got and say there's no reason to put May in.
That's an argument.
It's time to suck and really be good at it. And they're doing a good job the last few weeks. And just get ready for May next year.
It's just like if you're going to be a bear, be a grizzly. If you're going to suck
right.
badly.
What's wrong with that?
I mean, people that want to watch the team.
508 texter. I think the right word we should be using is revolt. Is there a revolt going on with the players?
Insurrection.
603. The lack of an authoritative decision maker in any collaborative organization results in chaos. Always.
In hindsight, I believe the Chiefs may have left a championship on the table because of how they handled Mahomes.
You could be right about
because
that.
Because let's say Mahomes plays the playoff game in 2017. Maybe he's not shut out in the first half of the AFC title game the next year at home. I don't know. I mean,
well, that speaks to how average Alex Smith was, to my point.
What? Alex Smith, in the playoff game they lost, he had 2 touchdowns, no picks.
Who'd they lose to?
That was Tennessee.
The only 10 I see.
Well, the year before, they didn't score a touchdown, losing to the Steelers in the playoffs.
Those were the years when you were like, oh, can we just get to the championship game?
603 texter, this current Patriots team couldn't score points if Miami pulled its defense off the field tomorrow. I don't know about that. They could actually win tomorrow. This is going to go against the tank plan.
Let me ask you this. If it's clear that the Van Pelt offense sucks, do you think more Patriots fans would join your side and say, it's not even a system, like, what are we going to have him in there? He's going to have a new coordinator next year.
It's
anyway.
Already 50-50. I mean, you guys don't look at your own poll results. Half the
shocking.
Audience doesn't want May, and they're right to not want
it
him.
It is just not, maybe it's like the Trump voters that don't say yes to poll people. Like,
yeah, they're not proud of it. I'm like, not proud of saying I don't want to see fun.
But
I
mean, like when
who wants to say that? But that's the smart thing to do.
The first thing when I hear in Southie, what I heard yesterday in Rhode Island, it's all like, what are they doing? I can't see this anymore. My eyes are bleeding.
It's only 4 weeks.
And they're talking about, I'm just kidding.
Have a little patience. Enjoy the suck. Embrace the suck. Let's go to Portland, Maine, and talk to Jamie on the Kenny Curtis Show.
Hey, Ken, they may not have to just suck because, you know, look at the next 3 weeks. I mean, they've got the Jags in 2 weeks, right? And then maybe a win tomorrow. So, like, stealing the season, they could be like a thief and come in. So I asked the show host here in Portland, I'm not a stat guy, you know, how many starting quarterbacks make it through the season? And I guess the average is about 10. So Jacoby was going to get knocked out anyway.
Yeah,
and
sure.
If they can get to 3 weeks out and be 3-5, you know, and then hand it off to Drake, that's like stealing the first half of the season.
There you go. Cannon fodder, Brissett.
I mean, I'm trying to look into this. The average, so 22 quarterbacks go down every year.
I mean, that seems right, just anecdotally. I mean, every week there's quarterbacks out. I mean, who's quarterbacking Miami tomorrow? Huntley?
Snoop Huntley.
Yeah.
The quote-unquote Pro Bowler.
All right, let's go to the 2023 regular season.
While you look that up, can I go to Jimmy and Dover?
Yeah.
You like Dover people?
I do.
I love Jimmy.
Drake May at quarterback, Ramondre Stevenson at fullback, Joe Milton at halfback. Get people running around, making plays. When you lost James Devlin, that's when the offense went into a death spiral. Sammy Morris and Heath Evans made huge plays for the Patriots, and Stevenson drops the ball every week. So put him at fullback and win some games.
Well, even better, Jimmy, our Andy Hart says Cole Strange, fullback of the future. Bring the fullback back, and it's Bill's first-round pick. You want things to really get strange. There you go.
20 quarterbacks last year started 15 or more games.
But do you think Jacoby will survive the year?
I won't if he does.
617-779-7937. How long can you stand watching Jacoby? Maybe that's the question.
I mean, why
What's the drop dead point?
But I have a question. Why would you start him next year? Because they're not going to be championship ready anyway. Maybe wait 3 years.
Well, no. Come on.
Why? What's the rush?
Spend the whole offseason fixing it.
What
building
are you
it around Drake.
What are you fixing? Who's the coordinator?
Might have a new coordinator, exactly.
Okay. Well, what's if that guy? We don't know. Why don't we see the new offense with a guy that might get hurt and then wait till week eight?
No, you're just being hyperbolic and extremist.
Well, that's a word that Evan Lazar couldn't quite grab the other day.
Patriots plan. What do you think of it? 617-779-7937 on the Kenny Carter Show. It's better
over here. After investing billions to light up our network, T-Mobile is America's largest 5G network. Plus, right now, you can switch, keep your phone, and we'll pay it off up to $800. See how you can save on every plan versus Verizon and AT&T at T-Mobile.com/keep and switch.
Up to 4 lines via virtual prepaid card. Allow 15 days. Qualifying unlocked device credit service ported 90 plus days with device and eligible carrier and timely redemption required. Card has no cash access and expires in 6 months.
The days are getting shorter, but the lights couldn't be brighter. This time of year, baseball is different, and the whole world is watching. All of the clutch hits, the game-saving grabs, the plays at the plate, and the head-first slides under the tag. That's peak baseball. Experience all of the autumn action. It's postseason season. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.